Okay, we're going to begin lesson number 7 on going on to perfection, and this will be our third lesson on the immersion of the Spirit. It's called Baptism of the Holy Ghost in the Bible, or Baptism of the Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ. And we found out there's just one Spirit, and that is the Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ. You don't divide up those things throughout the universe. There's just the Spirit of God. But it's given different titles as it administrates through different offices. And what we see is it's called Holy Ghost when it operates through flesh. A temple of flesh, it's the Holy Ghost that's operating. It's not in its full potential, its full power, but it's as God has poured out this gift. And of course, Christ was given the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost without measure. He was the tabernacle of God in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it was the temple. In the Old Testament, it was in the tabernacle. And then in the New Testament, in the Gospels, it was Christ. He was the tabernacle of God. Now, Jesus says, expedient, I go away, for if I go not away, he says, I will send you another comforter. But then he tells him, he says, I'm with you now, but I shall be in you. So who's the tabernacle of God now in the earth? We are. We're the temple of God. And one of the things that's interesting about this lesson that we're learning on immersion of the Spirit, just like we learned about immersion of water is a very easy biblical concept to understand, whether you believe in the necessity of it or not. We understand that it's just simply you walk to the watering grave, so to speak, and you are buried with Him in baptism. Immersion of the Spirit, through the years, even the short 30 years that I've been in church, is taken on a lot of different avenues of teaching. And one of the interesting things is the many attitudes or opinions that you have is many people say, well, you've always had the Spirit of God in you, you just aren't aware of it. I do not agree with that attitude. I don't think the Bible teaches that. Other people teach, well, you have the Spirit of Christ and you get the Holy Spirit later. I don't believe that either. I believe that there is one immersion. That immersion is in by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is what Christ came to give, which becomes Christ in us, the hope of glory. And I believe that because of what my study has shown me, the way I interpret the Scripture. But we're going to start in Romans chapter 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And one of the things that we have learned is, as we put the Scriptures in order, we are now reading in the book of Romans. It is an epistle. It is after the Gospels, the life of Christ. It is after the book of Acts, where it tells us the setting up of the churches in the Bible. And now we are writing to those churches that were set up in the book of Acts, or we are writing letters to the churches. And if you remember, John the Baptist, when we learned on water immersion, his message was, prepare yourself, the kingdom of God is at hand. I baptize with water, but the one that comes after me, whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose, he shall immerse you in the Holy Spirit. So when the kingdom comes into your life, it is not meat and drink. And we're learning about those things on Wednesday night. But it is peace, righteousness, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, what is righteousness? Well, I'm glad you asked. A righteous person is he that does that is right. What is right? Well, what is right? Well, what is right is what the 613 commandments show us in the Bible is correct. So if I'm a righteous man, I'm a follower, I walk in the Word. I walk halakha, I walk according to the commandment. That's the only thing that brings righteousness. And of course, peace and joy. And we're not going to get into the different fruit and the gifts of the Spirit this lesson. That will be next lesson. But today I want to share a few things that I think will begin to lead us in a good direction, especially those that are listening by tape. Also, someone contacted me this week. If anyone's interested in hearing any of our sermons, I think there's hundreds of them. They are on the internet under sermon.net. So if you ever want to hear a subject teaching by Pastor Michael Joe Kearse, go to sermon.net, and it lives forever there. So you can look those up. So in Acts chapter 1, verse 5, on our lesson 7, on going on to perfection, our third lesson on immersion of the Spirit, Acts 1 and 5, Christ has been crucified. He's been buried 3 days. He's been resurrected. He ascends to the Father. Then he pours out, what? 50 days later, on the day of Pentecost, Shavuot, Feast of Harvest, He pours out for the first time the immersion of the Spirit. And so now in Acts chapter 1, he reminds us, "For John truly did baptize with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." So Jesus told these apostles, or at that time we would call them disciples, that if they would go and tarry in Jerusalem, that they would be filled from power on high. They would be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So obviously they did not have the Holy Spirit yet. Yet they were working for the Lord. They were doing things for God. Someone points out the scripture in the Gospels that says he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And then they went forth casting out devils and doing certain things. That is not a baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's a prophecy. And a good word study for you to do is this word called power. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." The word for power changes from the Gospels to when the power, the Spirit of God has come to your life, and it's changed from authority to dunamis, which means dynamite or miracle working power. And so I've used this many times, and you can feel free to plagiarize what I'm saying. I saw a 160-pound man stop a 40-ton truck doing 60 miles an hour with one hand as he stood out in the highway. Why? Because he had a badge, and that truck driver knew he had the authority to stop him. And this is what the disciples had when Christ was in the earth. They said, "Even the demons flee from this name. Even that we have even power over the devil." Because when he breathed on them, he gave them authority. But he had not yet given them dunamis, power. This does not come until the immersion of the Spirit. And so what many scholars believe and many people teach, and is probably correct, is in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come down at times on the prophet, on the priest, and on the king. And they were able to speak, write the word, do miraculous things. And that's what the prophets were utilized to do. But you'll also notice the prophets would run and hide from a woman because they did not have an abiding presence of the Spirit. They were simply a vessel that God would use at times. You and I, and the generation since Christ has poured out the Holy Spirit, are the first people since Adam lost it on the face of the earth that we have the ability to keep as much of God as we want at any time. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm saying that to set up what I'm about to share with you here. "So you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." So now we go to the first place in your Bible where people are filled with the immersion of the Holy Spirit. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Pentecost just simply means 50 days after. 50 days after what? 50 days after Christ was resurrected at first fruits. And those of you that have been with us for a while, you understand that God does everything according to His clock and His calendar. And the feasts of the Lord, of which there are seven, are called His appointments, His moeds, His appointed times. And we will be hearing today in our church service a little bit about these things. So he tells them they have to tarry at Jerusalem. Why? Why didn't he give them the Holy Spirit then? Because just like he was crucified at Passover, he was buried at unleavened bread, he was resurrected at Feast of First Fruits, he would not do the next work of God until the next appointment, which was the Feast of Pentecost. Now then, they're in a room. The question we need to ask ourselves as a church 2,000 years later is, how did they know the difference between after they had the authority over devils? And how did they know the difference when they had left everything they had and had traveled with Christ? How did they know the difference between then and suddenly they're filled with the Holy Ghost? What happened to them to make them realize, hey, this is more, this is something different? "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting." And this should immediately trigger our minds to remember in John, the Gospel of John, the third chapter, where Jesus says, "Nicodemus, except a man be born again of water and of the Spirit, he shall not enter into the kingdom of God." The kingdom of God's within. It's when the Holy Spirit comes in. And then he says, "Nicodemus," he says, "for what do you know, what do you know about the wind?" He says, "The wind bloweth well it will, and you can see it effect thereof and hear the sound thereof, so is everyone that's born of the Spirit." In other words, you can't see wind. The word for spirit, breath, air, wind is all the same in the Greek and in the Hebrew. But yet there's something you will hear and there's something you will see when someone is born again. So now here we are. It's funny, Christ mentioned wind, years before they're filled with the Holy Ghost, and suddenly there comes a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind filled all the house where they're sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they all begin to speak in other tongues as what? The Spirit of God gave the utterance. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So I am not hung up on speaking in tongues. I do speak in tongues as the Spirit of God moves upon me. That is a portion of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I also want to share with you this morning that every place that they first received the Holy Spirit, it is always prefaced or in there, for they heard them speak with tongues. And someone says, well, I've never spoken in tongues, but I've had the Holy Spirit all my life. Well, you may have. I'm not here to argue that with you. However, I find that many people, after going through this teaching, begin to seek a deeper walk with God, and after this experience comes on them, it's not the speaking in tongues that changes your life whatsoever. That is just the sign, just like circumcision was a sign you were in covenant of God. But the thing about speaking in tongues that is interesting in the hour we live in is there are churches that will teach you how to speak in tongues. That doesn't sound very Christ-like and powerful. There are other people that say, well, you've always had the Holy Spirit, it's in you, just let it out. That's not biblically correct either. So what we see about speaking in tongues is, this is my opinion, but biblically looking at it, God used the tongue at Babel to separate the masses because they were all in one mind and one accord to make themselves a name. So therefore he used the tongue. So in the book of Acts, it only makes sense that what God has divided. In Acts chapter 2, he says they were all in one mind and one accord, but this time it was to lift up the name of Jesus. And he uses the tongue now to bring back men from every nation into one mind, one accord, one body. And so we also see in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16, go into all the world and baptize, and they that believeth will be baptized, teach the gospel, they that believeth and baptized will be saved. And these signs shall follow they that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. And then we see tongues all throughout, even in Isaiah 28, when he prophesies about the coming of the rest, the Comforter, where he says, with men and stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people to whom I said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. Now, I without being crude, I want to mention that this rubs a lot of people the wrong way, because you are telling them that they need to do something they can't do. That's exactly right. This is a miraculous infilling. And if you could do it, then it's no more God than I am. This is something that God does as we yield our member, and it's the sign, in my opinion. We see, we accept the Lord, but he needs to show us he's accepted our sacrifice. And so this is God coming down to live in a repented person's heart and mind. And I remember as I was seeking the Lord, and I can only speak of my personal experience like you speak of yours, that I didn't think I could get any better. I had such joy. I had such peace. I had repented of my sin. I'd been baptized. I'd begged God for this thing. Someone told me about the Holy Ghost, and I couldn't receive it. Well, it took me about 5 days to find out that my heart was deceptively wicked, and every time that I would try to seek more of God, I would just weep and weep, because even though my mind and my lips had confessed my sin, my heart still had a lot of hidden things in it, and I had to prepare myself to be a temple and a tabernacle for God. And all that takes is true repentance. My wife received the Holy Spirit. First time she went to a Spirit-filled church, she was over 30 years of age. She wasn't the deceptive heart that I was. So if you have a hard time receiving the Holy Spirit, you can't earn it. It's a gift. Let me move on. Now, moving on to Acts 2, verse 33. So now we could read the whole story. There are men of every nation that hear this phenomena of them speaking in other tongues. Each of them hear them in their own language. They say, are these men drunk? And then, of course, Peter stands up. The one that had just ran and denied Christ now has been empowered. He's no longer fearful, but stands up there outside the temple complex and says, no. And he begins to preach Christ, says, this is that the prophet Joel spoke of. And in Acts 2:33, our point on the immersion of the Spirit, he says, therefore, by the right hand of God exalted, and having received received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. So this is the promise of God that he would crush the head of the serpent, that man would be restored by the seed of a woman, and we could come into fellowship again, just like Adam and Eve had with God at one time in heaven on earth, the kingdom on earth, which is what the Garden of Eden was. And so I've said many times that what we see is we do not see time with God as linear, but rather it is figure infinity, or it is circular. And because we began in the garden, with the, which represent the Malkut Hayom, the kingdom of God on earth, then what we see is we lost that, and so the promise of the Father was to bring that. Now we know in part because we have the Holy Spirit. We're not God, but it shall be intensified when the kingdom comes to earth, if that makes sense. It has come, but only in part as we receive that. So he says, this is what you now see and hear. Now, the closing of these people, first place where 120 are in an upper room and they are filled with the Holy Spirit, is Peter ends up preaching, because these other righteous men that are at the temple, that have mikvahed, they've already been immersed so they could go into the temple. When they hear this, it says, when they heard him preach, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, and this is quite interesting, he said, repent. These people were already repented people. They were already people that were walking in the commandments of God. They said, repent, be baptized, be reimmersed into the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And that's what in the name means. And we learned in our prior lessons, if you're coming in late, you need to back up and listen to the preceding lessons, that they were immersed into many things, but this is the final immersion. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. So now he's telling them, now you need to be immersed into Yeshua, into the Messiah, into the name of Jesus Christ, because this is the baptism of remission of sin, where you're buried with him. And then ye shall too receive the immersion of the Spirit. It is a gift. You cannot earn it. It's the gift of God, the Holy Spirit. And then he tells us, not that the promise was just to the apostles or just to the 120 that are in the upper room or just to those before the Bible is written, but he tells us then, according to the Word of God, that the promise of the Holy Spirit is to you, your children, and as far off as the Lord our God shall call. Another thing we want to cover in this lesson is many people are taught that the Holy Ghost was given just to the apostles. And this is a very easy explanation as to why we don't have signs and wonders and why we don't see the things the apostles saw. Well, there's so many rabbit trails that I always want to run down in teaching every lesson. I will try to stay on the mainframe here. But I need to share that in your deeper Bible studying, you will find out that you will always be human first. And that's why I'm able to be saved today, is because I read my Bible and see the human frailties of the apostles. If you remember, there were times whenever one of them left his jacket and said, bring my coat, it's getting cold. And they made mistakes, they were human. And your apostles and your prophets didn't work miracles every time they went to church. Your apostles and prophets didn't have very many miracles at all. It's as the Lord wills. Now this will cross some of your theologies. There are no healers. And there are not people that operate in spiritual gifts as they will. They are a vessel that as God wills, He operates. And many times people can get off into familiar spirits or works of flesh because God has used them a couple of times, and then they think that they're supposed to be able to perform these things. And you'll see many evangelists today that at one time were mightily used of God, but when they got their tent and their healing name crusade, suddenly people weren't healed anymore. But these giftings are of God. We do not incorporate what God does. And so the point I'm trying to make is, even after we receive the Holy Spirit, even after we operate in giftings, we can see the same thing the apostles saw if we will live the life they lived. And we're going to get into that means to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Because you have received the Holy Ghost does not mean today you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And we're going to get here in a minute. That's why you're going to see many times, most time, if not every time, when a miracle is worked, it says, and they being filled. It was after a time of prayer. It was after a time when they overcame their humanity, even though they were now dual in nature, because they now had the Spirit of God and the Spirit of man. But maybe that day they were living more in the Spirit of man than they were in the Spirit of God. And therefore, that's what we need to understand. Just no one you know except Jesus Christ is going to walk out here and be used mightily every day of God. That does not, never has, and never will happen. And I can back that in the Word of God. Period. That also leads to people being falling into super spiritualism. Now, I'm saying this after 30 years of experience, and you have a right to disagree with it. Because they have a mindset that that's what these people did in the Bible, and therefore they don't want to fall short, and they begin to move into every day's, you know, just a miracle, and every prayer meeting has to be more boisterous, and every church service has to have a greater pinnacle because it's continually, we're moving on in the Lord. Not so. There is a limit to what we're going to be in our humanity. What proves we are spiritual is we keep walking in the commandments. What proves we are spiritual is we don't lie. What proves we are spiritual is we have a good reputation. What proves we are spiritual is we have Christian conduct and character. Not our speaking in tongues. Not our laying hands on people. And people get that very confused. I'm a very spiritual man, and I'm sorry I said that. I'm not bragging on me. And yet when you get around me, I will do my best to allow you to see my worst carnality, because my worst isn't that bad, to help you understand God isn't going to not use me tomorrow because today I sold Army Surplus or today I watched this TV channel. And I'm not talking about pornography. That's not the way God works. But in my time of being filled with the Holy Spirit, God, I am a vessel. You are a vessel God can use. But for me to run around, and I hope you can grasp what I'm about to say. And if you're new in the Lord, you won't grasp this at all. And I'm not trying to discourage you. And this is really a class for older Christians. But what happens is, when we're new in the Lord, we can't grasp this concept. And so if we're not careful, we begin to live a hyped Christian life. And truthfully, I am so glad to be set free from that. And not everybody gets free from it. You finally step away from all the praise the Lord and the bumper stickers and all this. And you finally find out you're much more effective just being like Christ was, making sinners comfortable with you. And you're not trying to convince them how much different you are than they are, because you're spiritual. If you're spiritual, you won't have to tell them, because Christ in you will draw them to you. Because if He's been lifted up, He'll draw all men nigh. And so what really happens is, as we go on to perfection, is this begins to make life so much more comfortable, because we can be who and what we are in Christ 24/7. And we don't have to have a Sunday face when we walk through the church. We're just real. Is that okay with everyone? Got off on a rabbit trail, didn't I? And so the Holy Ghost, some people say, was just for the apostles. Says that, now I'm going to just give you a few biblical examples. Let the Bible be true. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a prince, and He's our Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. And we are His witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, who God has given to they that obey Him. Not for 12 men. And folks, you can't have the Holy Ghost mean one thing here and then go to this next chapter and have it mean another thing there, and go to this book and have it mean another thing there. Are you with me? The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God that has now come down to man, and He's made available to us. Well, let's go on. If it's just for the 12 men, let's see what the Bible teaches. And Acts chapter 6, verse 22 through 6, the 12 get together. Remember, there's 11. We have one that fell. He hanged himself, Judas. They vote another one in. And now then, the 12 have gotten together, and they're so overwhelmed by trying to do all the work. It says, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples to them, and they said, it is not reason that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look out among you, you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. I'm just making a simple point that most of you don't need, but maybe some of the people listening to learn more would need, and that is, you're going to find all through the book of Acts other people that are full of the same Holy Ghost that the apostles had. No different Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, folks. When you get it, He's no respecter of person. He says, whom we appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves to prayer. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and you can go on right down. Now, it's interesting, because I believe every word in the Bible is there for a purpose. It's interesting when they mention Stephen that he's full of faith. as we get into spiritual giftings, you're going to find out that when we get into spiritual giftings, how many know you need faith to receive the Holy Ghost? Well, then why does it say he's full of faith and the Holy Ghost? Because when you get into spiritual giftings, one of the spiritual gifts is what? Faith. Well, that's not with proper understanding. This is a special occurrence that God does. It's a special time of faith. It's a supernatural faith that give for that moment. And if you've ever been used in that gifting, then you have that ability that God can work through you with that. It may be for you to whatever it is needs to be done, but it is a portion of the gifting of the Spirit. All right, so let's go to Acts. So then it points out these men's seven names who they're going to pick that are not apostles, that are filled with the Holy Ghost. And then it goes on in Acts 7 and 54, and when they heard these things, so now Stephen's preaching to, he's not an apostle, but he's one of those that they chose. He was full of faith. He's preaching outside the gate, inside the walls of Jerusalem, and he's preaching to the Jews. They didn't like what he said, so they gnashed on him with their teeth, but he being full of the Holy Ghost, he's not an apostle. That's the point. We get to Acts chapter 9, verse 17. And Ananias went his way, and he entered into the house. And what he's about to do is, remember, Saul is on his way, and he's persecuting Christians. Saul is doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing. He is a member of the temple priesthood, and he's been given guardianship by the priesthood, to go out and to come against these people that are sharing the revered name of God, and that are doing things when this name's not to be spoken anywhere, and yet they are telling everyone this name, plus they are confessing that this man, Yeshua, that has come in flesh, the Lord, and that's why they crucified him, was for him making himself God, being a blasphemer. And so what we see is that he was doing that he thought was right, and he's on his way persecuting them. The Lord himself smites Saul blind, and he says, "Why do you kick against the pricks?" And he says, "Who art thou, Lord? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." He says, "I'm Yeshua." And then when he's smitten blind, he also has to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So we see where then Saul's name is changed to Paul. And of course, he's filled with the Holy Spirit outside of the time of the apostles were first chosen. Then in Acts chapter 17, we see where they are preaching not to Jews. And it says, "As I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, the same Holy Ghost that fell on us as at the beginning," Acts chapter 2. So once again, we see where this Holy Ghost, the apostles did not differentiate between the power that was given to, and I apologize for using this word because I don't believe in it. He is sharing that the laity received the same Spirit of God that the ministry. And that's very displeasing to God. There is not ministry and laity. We are all the children of God, and there are offices and administrations in a fivefold ministry. Priesthood, we've only got one priest. Regardless of what they do in Rome, whenever they do it, and I'm not knocking that, but biblically, we've just got one priest, and that's Jesus, who stands forever at the right hand of God. All right. So let me go to Acts chapter 15, and I'll get out of this and go to another portion of this lesson. "And God, which knows the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did to us." So all this rant that I've been on is to share with you that if you want to see the works the apostles did, then pray and live the life they lived. God hasn't changed. The church has. We have received the same Holy Ghost that the apostles received. Therefore, God has called us to do the same works as He wills, when He wills, according to His will, that they did. Now, let's look at this, the Holy Ghost in them. Acts 15, verse 28. You're going to notice another, you may not have, but you will now. You're going to notice as you read about this Holy Ghost in people. What is the Holy Ghost in people? Well, it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's just a portion of the peace of God. Just like you eat a piece of pie, you have now spiritually eaten a piece of the body of Christ. And this piece, portion of the body of Christ, every day we choose whether we're going to feed it and walk in it, or appease it and feed us and walk in us. That is our daily choice. And that's why Christ said, "Take up your cross." Why? Because if you don't put the flesh in subjection, then you won't walk in the spiritual man. So it's interesting here, because whenever they're praying about what do we need to tell these Gentiles, what laws they need to obey in order that we allow them to come to church, because that was the only church there was the Jewish synagogue. It says, "For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden." Well, how can it seem good to the Holy Ghost? Well, this is the way I see the Scriptures coming together. The way it's good to the Holy Ghost, and when they say this, is that they once again are going back to the giftings of the Spirit. Now, many people think they operate in the gifts of the Spirit that have never received the Spirit. Is that possible? I don't know. A lot of people say they do. I don't know. I can only speak through my personal experience. So what we see is that what they're saying is it seemed good to the Holy Ghost. In other words, another gift of the Spirit is discernment and word of knowledge. And so what we see is that when they came together and they prayed, it wasn't that the Holy Ghost showed up as a person, because He's not a person. He's a Spirit. It's the Spirit of God. But through them. Now let's watch this. Acts chapter 5. A certain man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira, they sold a possession. Everyone was giving to the church. And they kept back part of the price, his wife being so privy to it. And they brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land?" Now it's not that Ananias was not giving all the money. It's that he said he was lying. He said, "Well, we're giving everything we've got." And so he says, "Why are you lying to the Holy Ghost?" And this is, I was sharing with someone late yesterday afternoon at my job that it's interesting. They saw something transpire between me and someone and they didn't understand it. And I didn't want to call a lot of attention to it. I just said, "Well, there are times when I'm able to see things in people." But we aren't in control of those times. We are in control of how much of the Holy Spirit we have in us. And so when he said they lied to the Holy Ghost, what it is just like in ministry, and this is not to put you in fear factor of people that are in ministry, but many times when we are in a right standing with God, we operate according to the offices of God. And just like you're in a corporation, when God sends out the memo, He won't send the same memo to the vice president as He does to the mail clerk. And therefore, many times when someone's speaking, many times I see their mouth moving and I hear what they're saying, but it has nothing to do with the truth. You're lying to the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't know how to say that without exalting flesh, because no flesh is to be exalted. But it's nothing that a person controls. It is a portion of a gifting of that Spirit. And this is what you're going to see. Well, let me move on. Am I making any sense out there this morning? Okay. So, I'm going to get off that portion of it. Does that make sense? So you're going to see when they said, "You've done this to the Holy Ghost." Well, these are people filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is not out here. It's in them. And they're moving, walking, and breathing. And therefore, the giftings are operating through them. And they're not taking the credit. It's not that they're trying to say, "Look at me, I'm a great man of God." That's what sorcerers do. That's witchcraft. But rather they're saying, you don't understand the Holy Spirit's here. You're misinforming the Holy Spirit. All right. Filled or half full? Why does it say this? Good question. I'm way out of time. Acts chapter 13, verses 8 and 9. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who's also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. Now, I'm just wanting to call your attention to the fact, backing up to the statement that I made, of one of the things that really can help us live for God is to recognize the humanity of every man in the Bible, is the fact that you're going to see when they operate in the giftings, it usually is preceded by they are filled with the Holy Ghost. You say, "Well, I'm not used like..." Well, you need to be filled. Well, I received the Holy Spirit. I filled my car up with gas when I bought it. Are you with me? So I'm smiling while I say this. And that's what we need to learn. That's why Jude tells us, half-brother Yeshua says, building up your most holy faith, how? Praying in... building up your most holy faith filling the tank, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, praying in the Holy Ghost, to me, this is to me, is when I go beyond my mind. And I know this is going to sound strange to many people, maybe some of you that are newer with us. You see, Holy Ghost, you know English. If you're born in China, you know Chinese. You can just keep Japan, Japanese. Mexico, Spanish. But you learned a language. But there is the unknown language that was given to man before the Tower of Babel. No man knows that language now. It's the unknown tongue. And so when I get beyond my thought process, the Bible says that it makes groanings and utterances which I don't understand, because the Spirit, the Holy Ghost in me, is making intercession. And just like, I'm stretching this now, and just like God spoke the world into existence, when we really, I'm not talking about, some of us get a prayer language, which means we learn how to say, see my tie, tie my tie, see my tie, tie my tie. Or some slogan that comes from mind and flesh that has no power in it. It's a great elixir to make you feel spiritual. But when we really, is that all right?
Amen.
Is that okay that I said that there, buddy?
Amen. Yes.
But when we really pray in the Holy Ghost, it comes from within. And it's an utterance, and it's a power, and we recognize, hey, this is God in us, and He's reworking things in our lives, and He may even be speaking some things to around us to put them in alignment. So this is why we build up our most holy faith, because we need to be refilled with the Holy Spirit. When we have altar calls or spiritual moves in the church, it shouldn't be that, well, I got the Holy Ghost in 1981. No, it should be, I need to be refilled today. Does that make sense? Building up our holy faith. All right. Let me go on. Acts 4:8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them. And what you're going to see is, every time it tells us that they're filled, then it's going to share with us that they have miraculous power, miraculous drawing potential to their speaking. But just because I've got Holy Ghost doesn't mean I'll be able to do that, because I may not be filled with Holy Ghost. Sometimes, is it possible that the most full some people will ever be is the day they receive the Holy Spirit? And then they use that like church membership, and I'm not being critical, I'm just speaking by observation, in my opinion. They use it like church membership. Well, I have my red badge of courage. So they go on right back to flesh. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now so foolish you can end this thing in the flesh? Well, I got my red badge of speaking in tongues and Holy Ghost, so I just went back to serving the law. Are you with me out there? So what Holy Spirit really is a true relationship of loving spiritual intercourse with your Creator, where you are His bride, He is your husbandman, and you have a true relationship where you're not living for God because you don't want to go to hell. You're living for God because you love Him and you know He loves you, and you know He has your best interest at heart. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right. So, I'm not going to get to the rest of this lesson, am I? Am I just beating these scriptures to death? I apologize. So how do we receive the Holy Spirit? Well, we're not going to get through that in this lesson. That'll be about where we end. Luke chapter 11, verse 9 through 13, Jesus is speaking, and He says, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. And I want to stop right there. These are action words. Now, some people receive the Holy Spirit very easily. Others of us, like myself, we have a harder time, because most men that have lived to be any age have learned how to be very deceptive in life. I don't know if you've noticed, but business in America is deceptive. I don't know if you've noticed, politics in America may be a little deceptive. And regardless of how righteous we think we are, we learn how to tongue-in-cheek not tell the truth, but do it in a way that we're honest about it. But you can't lie to the Holy Ghost. And so, therefore, it's like saying, well, therefore, our heart is not in a place of purity or cleanliness because we haven't truly repented. That's the only thing required, is to have faith in God and truly repent and to believe. And then, many times, especially the reason I like and do not like teaching on baptism of the Holy Ghost and the sign that it shows that always it said that they had was speaking in other tongues. You say, well, I didn't speak in tongues, I got the Holy Ghost. Well, maybe you do. But the sign that it always gave, then people begin to not seek God, but they begin to seek the gift. And so you'll see them praying for tongues. Well, that's not it at all. If you, what all you do is you repent and you just begin to love Him and tell Him and worship Him. And when God is a gift, He gives it to you then. And I remember as soon as I could speak English again, when He let go of my tongue, the first thing out of my mouth, and everyone's experience is somewhat different, the first thing I said is, thank God it's real, thank God it's real. Because folks, if it hadn't been real, I don't know where I'd be today. And this is 30 years ago. Someone says, well, that's deception. Well, I'll just tell you this. If deception of baptism of the Holy Ghost made me pour out all of my alcohol and drugs and other bondages and devices, preach Jesus for the last 30 years, if that's the devil, then I doubt any of us are ever going to have a chance to be saved. And kept me fulfilled and given me a place where I can always go back to a restart and get full of peace, love, and joy. So if that's deception, let me get off that. So these are action words. And so I wanted to close by saying this. When I decided I really wanted this Holy Ghost, when I had learned about what I'm teaching you, if you have people that say, well, I want the Holy Spirit, but if they're busy and got to go to lunch, they don't come to the altar. And that's not even the important part. Because when you thirst, you're thirsty till you get a drink.
Amen.
And when you're hungry until you get a drink. So when you really find out your little old deceptive heart really wants the Holy Ghost, see, until you realize you've got to have it, I'll say it like Swaggart. You don't have to have it, but I don't know how you can be saved without it. I think that's saying you got to have it in a kind way, but I'm not really very good at politically correct. Until you realize how important this thing is, you just put it like tilt and cruise on the car. You drive around and you think someday this will happen. But when you finally get hungry for it, it'll be on your mind when you get up, be on your mind when you go to lunch, be on your mind when you come home. And when you get like that, you won't be long, because you're on your way then. Because your heart's really saying, I love you with all my mind, heart, and soul. I want this more than I want my life. And that's what it requires. Not studying about it. So everyone that asks, I like that part, everyone. Everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to he that knocks it'll be open. And if a son asks you for bread, you that is a father, will you give him a stone? You're not going to ask God for the Holy Ghost and get a demon. Okay? And you have people teach that. There are people who have never been filled with the Holy Ghost, by the way. And you'll notice people who have never spoken in other tongues but filled with the Holy Ghost are the experts on telling you why none of this is real. All right. Or if he will, you're too late for me, it happened. And it changed my life. And they say, I read an article in the Houston paper a while back, brought it to the church. They say 48,000 people a day are receiving this experience across the face of the earth. So if you ask for a fish, will you give him a snake? If you ask for an egg, will you offer him a scorpion? If you then, he had a way with words, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts unto your children. You know, Christ had a way with words. Called the serpent, snakes, evil of our father the devil. Why? Because he's not a liar. He tells it like it is. But you can't take offense. You need to realize the one that's speaking. Our heart, and I can't say it like he did, is deceitfully wicked. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to they that ask? And I believe we'll end the lesson there. Lesson 8, we will begin next Sunday morning on people that receive the Holy Ghost and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. God richly bless you.